Well, today, I need to digress just a minute, amen. I need to digress from the teachings that we've been doing on the whole counsel of God for mankind in salvation, because God would have me to talk about something else this morning, amen. Now, I want to be very practical. Somebody say practical. I don't want to be very contextual or very theological, but I just want to be practical. Somebody say practical. When we talk about theology, we're talking about crossing every T, dotting every I as it relates to the subject that we're on. But God would give me to be very practical this morning. Somebody say amen. I wish that all the members of the church were here today, and I realize that some are out for various reasons. That couldn't be helped. But because they're not here, I believe we have who God ordained for us to share this word with this morning. Amen. I want to talk today about a very, very good subject, but sometimes it's touchy to some. Amen. I want to talk about change. Somebody say change. Somebody say change. Now, I believe that God has given me this message today for a couple of reasons. One, I believe that he desires for us to really understand that change, somebody say change, change is a part of his agenda for us individually. I know some folks think it's all right to remain the same, but it ain't all right to remain the same, amen. Especially when you really need to change, or when we really need to change, amen. And I think, secondly, he's given me this message today because the church, Friendship Christian Church Ministries, is about to go or undergo change in some areas. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I wish I could stand here and tell you all the change that we're getting ready to undergo, but I can't tell you. You want to know why? Because I don't know, amen. I just believe in my spirit because of the message God has given me that we are about to undergo some change, amen. I've learned a lot of things about God over the last 20 years, over the last 30 years. One of the major things I've learned about him is that he don't give you everything at once. If he gave you everything at once, you might not need faith to believe him for the next step or the next information that he wants to share with you. Amen. Now, sometimes he gives us information that we need faith to wait for the outcome or the results, but I think he really has to feed us little by little so that we can continue to trust him to feed us what he desires us to have, amen. So today I want to talk about change. Somebody say change. Let's start by defining the term change. Change, number one, is defined as to make different. To make different. Number two, change is defined as to alter. Now, to make something different, you totally change it, or you totally make it over, amen. When you alter something, you might make a little change here or a little change there. You wear clothing. Somebody say clothing. And if you're like me, your weight fluctuates. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down. And in order for me to wear my clothes, sometimes I have to alter them. Somebody say alter them. Sometimes I have to take them up a little bit in the back. Sometimes I have to let them out a little bit in the back. Well, the last couple of years, I've been going this way, shrinking, opposed to growing or getting taller. So I've had to alter the bottom of them or the hem, amen. I didn't totally change the pants, but I just made slight change so that it could fit me or so that they could fit me. Somebody say amen. So change, number two, means to alter. Number three, change means to modify. Somebody say modify. Or basically to make better, amen. I remember dirt couldn't hide from intensified tide, amen. And then we got new and improved tide, amen. Which means they were trying to sell us on the fact that they modified tide just a little bit to make it better or make it clean better than it previously did, amen. So change encompasses, one, making different, two, altering, or, and three, modifying. Somebody say modifying. Now let's just walk through change. Walk through change. Number one, if you're taking notes, some change is inevitable. I don't care how much you hate, some change is going to happen. Amen. If you live, guess what? You're going to get older. Somebody say older. I don't care how much you dread getting gray hair. I don't care how much you dread, skin getting a little loose in some places. Amen. I don't care how much you dread certain things as it relates to getting older. If you live, change as it relates to the physical body aging will take place. Somebody say amen. Now, if you don't like aging, there's an alternative. Amen. But I don't think many of us are ready for that. Somebody say amen. Yes. So number one, some change, somebody say some change, is inevitable. Number two, change, somebody say change, oftentimes involves choice. Somebody say choice. You can choose to change. I often tell people, if you don't like how you look, you can change it. Now, you might not be able to change the base features, but for women, you know, if you don't like little wrinkle, little wrinkle, little wrinkle, little wrinkle, amen, you know, you got makeup you can put on, amen. Somebody say amen. For us men, if we don't like the way that maybe the fat is flabbing on our bodies, we can tighten it up by way of exercise, amen. But it's choice. Somebody say choice. Or we choose to make change in certain areas of our lives where we need change, amen. Some people choose not to change because they like who they are, amen. So number two, change oftentimes involves choice. Somebody say choice. And number three, change denotes options or having options. Somebody say amen. When you have an option, that means that there are, you know, certain choices available to you to make a change. Amen. Yeah. It's predicated upon preference. Somebody say preference. So change in some cases is inevitable. Change in some cases involves choice. Change in some areas or oftentimes has to do with options. Amen. When I was meditating on this morning, the Lord took me to a place, and I won't take you to the scripture, I'll just tell you, Luke chapter 14, where he said to his disciples that you can choose to follow me or not follow me, amen. It's your choice, amen. He says, but if you choose, I think Luke chapter 14, verses 21 through 33, if you choose to follow me, there's some things that you're going to have to do. He says, if you choose to follow me, if you choose to make me your leader, you first got to love me more than you love anybody else. Amen. Somebody say amen. And secondly, you got to be willing to give up all. Amen. Now, he didn't say you have to give it up. He said you have to be willing to give it up. Amen. So if you desire to follow me, you need to choose to be all in or choose to follow me the way that I desire to be followed, amen. Or you have a choice not to follow. Somebody say amen. You can be saved and not follow, amen. You can be saved, not follow, and remain carnal, amen. But the choice is yours, amen. Somebody say amen. Now, I learned a lot this week preparing for this message. One thing I learned was Jesus had a message of change. Jesus, see, Jesus had a message, see, a message of change. And even before Jesus came on the scene preaching change, John the Baptist had a message of change. Amen. John the Baptist was baptized in the wilderness, and he was saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Repent in its essence means to what? Change. Amen. And then some of the Pharisees came out there, some of the Sadducees came out to be baptized, and he said, you snakes, who warned you to come out here? Amen. If I dip you in the water, when you come up, you need to bear fruit or show by way of your conduct that change is taking place in your life. Amen. So we walk away with this point. If change has really taken place in your life, somebody ought to be able to see it. Amen. Somebody say, see it. A lot of times we talk a lot, or we talk, somebody said, a good game. But if you really have changed, somebody can take a look at your sister Lucille and tell that change has taken place. Amen. If it's changing your weight, amen. If it's changing the way that you act, amen. Somebody ought to be able to notice that change has taken place in your life, amen. So even before, excuse me, even before Jesus came on the scene preaching change, John the Baptist preached change. Somebody say amen. Now said Jesus had a message, say a message, in his earthly ministry of change. Let's walk that out. Somebody say walk it out. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17. New King James Translation. Somebody said, Jesus preached change. He taught change. Amen. This is what Jesus said. This is right after he came out of the wilderness, being tempted of the devil. He said, from that time, the scripture says, from that time, Jesus began to what? Preach and to say what? Repent. Why? Jesus was saying, change. Because there's a new way of doing things, God way on the scene, amen. And if you're going to line up with what God desires, it's going to take change. Somebody say change. Change for that to happen, amen. Now, it implied that what was going on prior to Jesus coming on the scene preaching change, that people were doing things that were contrary to what God desired done, amen. Religious folks thought that they had it all together. They thought that they were doing everything right. They were self-righteous. And Jesus came on the scene saying, look, it's time to change, because I'm introducing to you the way that God truly wants things done. Somebody say amen. Matthew chapter 18. Somebody say change.
Change.
Verse number 1. The scripture says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Dude's father Jesus wanted to be great. Looked like they wanted to be seen. Looked like they wanted folks to notice him. So they asked Jesus, how can we be great in your kingdom? Amen. Listen to what Jesus says next. Verse number 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verse number 3, he said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted. Somebody said converted. Somebody said changed. To convert means to change. It means to twist. It means to turn around. It means to do something differently. Amen. He says, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Not that you won't go to heaven, but if your mindset don't change about greatness, you won't be under the rulership of God as it relates to how he requires greatness in his kingdom. Somebody say amen. Verse number 4. This is what he says next. He says, therefore, whoever humbles himself. Somebody say humbles himself. Somebody say humility. Humility requires change. For the most part, we're halting. Okay? We're prideful. We want it our way or the highway. But in God's kingdom, greatness is seen in humility. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, God gave me a definition of humility a long time ago, and I want to share it again with you. Humility means the ability to put self aside to meet a need or to follow someone else's lead. It means to put self aside to meet a need or follow somebody else's lead. You know, whenever need time comes, you know, self always rise up, amen. You know, sometimes my wife will ask me to do something from a need perspective. I have another agenda. And the first thing I want to say sometimes is you do it yourself. But because humility steps in, amen. I'm oftentimes, not all the time, willing. Somebody say willing. I was going to say can, but I always can, but I have to be willing too, amen. Oftentimes I'm willing to put aside my agenda to meet her need, whatever it is, amen. I want you to get this. You always can. You always, well, in most cases, you have the ability to meet the need, but you must be willing. Somebody say willing. You must be willing. Say, I will meet the need, amen. Now, as it relates to leadership, if you're going to follow leadership, you might always have a better idea you think, amen. But if you are to follow leadership, you sometimes got to put aside your agenda to follow leadership, amen. So humility don't mean that you might not know more than the person that you're following. Now, none of us knew more than Jesus, amen. None of us know more than Jesus. But humility means you might be smarter. But if you're going to follow, somebody say follow. We're not talking about blindly following folks off the cliff and all that kind of stuff, amen. Good leadership. Say good leadership. If you're going to follow, you got to humiliate yourself or humble yourself so that you can make the trek of following the person, amen. So in Jesus' kingdom, we have to, if we're going to be great, learn humility. Somebody say humility. Somebody say humility. Again, humility has to, oh my goodness, has everything to do with putting self aside. I just got to say this. You ain't got to say nothing. You can put self aside, amen. I just got to do this. No, you ain't got to do nothing. You can put self aside and meet the need, amen. I just got to say this, Pastor. No, you ain't just got to say nothing, amen. The spirit of the prophet, the Bible says, subject to the prophet, amen. So you can humble yourself and not say it, amen. If I'm telling you this, Pastor, I'm going to explode. No, you're not going to explode. Watch and see if you don't tell me if you explode, amen. You just have to humble yourself. So humility, again, has everything to do with being able to put self aside. I hear that, Holy Ghost. In order to meet a need or follow a lead. Sometimes I have to say things I don't want to say. But I'm going to say it anyway. Because the Lord is leading me to say it. Do you know that after we marry, there's a need for change in our lives? Oftentimes we want to be married and want to act single, amen. I'm trying to say it right. You shouldn't want to be married and single. You should want to be one or the other, amen. If you wanted to be single, you had a choice. not to make the change from being single to married. Amen. If you like single life, you should have left married life alone until you were ready to settle into a married life. Somebody say amen. Because when we enter into holy matrimony, change is necessary. I can't have three women no more. Well, I shouldn't have three women no more, amen. I should just be committed to one, amen. When I was single, I could go out with three or four of them, amen. But now all the single ladies, amen. I have to leave them alone, amen, because I have one wife, amen. So marriage, entering into marriage from the single lifestyle, entails some change in our lives, male and female. Bringing babies into the world necessitates change in our lives, amen. Baby have needs that he or she can't meet themselves, amen. Which means we got to put self aside to meet the baby's need, amen. My grandbabies come over and they cry. The little one cries sometimes. I want him to be quiet sometimes because I want to do what I have to do. But necessity dictates that I meet whatever his need is, amen. Or he's going to keep on screaming, amen. So when we enter into parenthood, some changes in our lifestyles are necessitated. So change is important. Somebody say change is important. And Jesus preached and taught change. Amen. Let's expound a little bit more upon Jesus' teaching of change. Mark chapter 1, verse number 15. Mark 1:15, and saying, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, and what? The kingdom of God is at hand. He says, repent. Say repent. Repetitive, recurring, repent. Somebody say repent.
Repent.
Change. And what? Believe in the gospel. Sometimes change necessitates our belief systems changing. It's almost asinine to expect change without changing your belief system. Or changing your belief, amen, in certain areas, amen. You know, I want $1 million in the bank, but I still spend all my money. My actions don't meet with my desire, does it? If I want $1 million in the bank, the first thing I got to do is learn how to accumulate $1 million. And then my actions have to follow what I've learned or what I believe about accumulating $1 million, amen. So in a lot of instances, change only takes place when our belief systems change or what we believe change, amen. I used to believe I should spend all my money because I made it all, amen. Now I believe I need to save some, glory to God. I believe, say he believes, so I save some. Somebody say amen. In order for us to repent and take in the gospel, we had to believe what the gospel was. Amen. So belief system has to change in order for us to change in certain areas. Amen. Let's go a little bit deeper. Luke chapter 13. Somebody say change. There were present, the scripture says, at that season. Somebody say season.
Season.
Let me just stick a pin right there. There are seasons in our lives where all of us need to change. certain time periods in our lives when all of us need to change. Because some things that we did in our early years are not good for us in our older years. Amen. I can't stay up and drink all night like I used to. I don't even want to stay up and drink all night like I used to. I'd be to wrap myself around a pole somewhere, amen. You know I don't condemn drinking. The Bible don't condemn drinking. But at a point in our life, man, we got to realize I'm not 20 no more. I can't do what a 20-year-old do, amen. I'm 61 now, amen. And I want to live to get 90 plus, amen. So I need to act like that's the way I want to live, or that's how the age I want to live to be, amen. So there's some seasons in our life where things needs to change. I don't know your season, you don't know my season, but you know what season you're in, and you know whether or not you need to change some things. Take a look at yourself, and then you'll be able to know where you need change. Michael Jackson, I love this song. Man in the Mirror. I ain't bothering you, but I'm asking him to change. Because he desired. Somebody say he desired. And he needs it. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with what? Their sacrifice. Paul was a ruthless guy right there, amen. Verse number 2. I hear you, Lord. And Jesus answered and said to them, Jesus was so smart. He says, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? What's the answer? Verse number 3. I tell you, Jesus said, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Amen. There's not a time where I read that scripture and I don't see what I'm getting ready to tell you. Jesus is saying some sin can kill us. There's some sin that we can get caught up in that will take us slap out. Amen. So he said, if you don't want that to happen, you need to say, y'all looking at me like I know something about you. I don't know nothing about you. You know where you are. And more than that, Jesus knows where you are. Jesus knows where we are, amen. That's why he would tap the Holy Spirit and tell the Holy Spirit, tell Lorenzo, this is what I want him to share with the church today, because there are some folks that needs to change, because if they don't change, they're headed down a dead-end street, amen. And if it ain't you, you know somebody who needs to change, amen. And you can share the change message with them. Somebody say amen. Next verse. So Jesus reiterates, because he really wanted to get it. Somebody say amen. Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? What's the answer? Verse number 5. Jesus said, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, or unless you change, you will all what? Likewise. That's the stuff that we can get caught up in that can really take us out. And we know where we are. If we don't want it, it's not my teaching, it's Jesus' teaching. If we don't want it to hurt us, not even get to take out. If we don't want it to hurt us, there's some change. Somebody say change. That we need to make in our lives. Now, Jesus said, for some, change is hard. Why? Because you like what you're doing. Luke chapter 5. Verse number 37. I want to change, Pastor, but I love where I am. Well, no, you really don't want to change. Most of the changes, not all of them, but most of the changes I've ever made in my life was when I got tired of being or doing what I was doing. When I used to be like an angry black man or an angry mad man. I used to pray and say, Lord, I hate myself like this. You got to help me. Because I hate myself like this. Then I went to the psychologist and got help. Change was progressive, but change happened. If you really hate yourself in a particular place, you'll do something about it. That's another thing that when I got tired of doing. I either gave it up or asked the Lord to help me to give it up. And one of the biggest changes I've made in my life was stop acting a fool in front of my children. One of the things, and I probably said this to you before, but this is where the Lord is carrying me now. One of the things I used to hate more than anything else is to see one of my children act a fool like I act a fool. And I taught them how to act a fool by acting a fool. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You got that, didn't you? Yeah. They followed my example. Yeah. Yeah. When I got tired of seeing them act a fool like I acted a fool, I worked on not acting a fool in front of them. I said, acting a fool in front of them. So when you get tired of doing some things, and tired of hurting folks, you'll change. Well, at least that's about to help you to change. Now, right now, I'm tired of Pat being cold, so I'm going to make a change. I'm going to turn his air off. And I got to deny myself. I got to deny myself in order to do that, amen. I'm just calling you out because I see you wrapping up, amen. Somebody say amen. You're welcome. Now her change might mean that I sweat, but she's worth that change, amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. That was better than you really heard. Some change might cause me to sweat, but if it helps you, it's worth it. No. I'm really where I want to be, amen. You need to come on up, amen. Some change might cause me to sweat. But she's worth it. Some change might cause you to sweat. But she got to be worth it. Some change might cause you to sweat, but she got to be worth it. You must recognize the value of the person that you're sweating it out for, amen. She's worth all that I can sweat to change for her plus some more. Yeah. Yes. I ain't always been here, but I'm here now. So some change for her might cause me to sweat. But she's worth it. Michael. Because she's what? She's cold. Or she's hot. Which one?
I'm hot. She's hot. So he turned up, she turned up the ass so she could be cool. And he covered up himself with the blanket. But because she's worth it. I know he was going to preach at some point. Amen. Go ahead, Larry. Go ahead. Pull it. Amen. 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 But listen.
Come on.
He shed his blood because you were worth it to him. Amen. He loved you enough to die for you so that your life could change. Amen. He loved us enough to die for us so that our lives could change. Amen. Man, what I like about Jesus is everybody Jesus encountered, man, their lives changed, amen, or their lives got better. If that was a true encounter, amen. He thought that we were worth it. Y'all can help me preach. I like it, amen. Precious? Oh, you just wave your hand. Amen. Jesus says that sometime change is hard for some, amen. Listen to what he says. No one, and Jesus was a metaphoric teacher, say metaphoric. Which means even though he was talking about wine, he wasn't really focusing on wine. He wanted us to take away the truth that was in the analogy. He says, and no one puts what? New wine into what? Translation. You can't put new concepts and new ideas in an old mindset, amen. Something has to change. If you're going to receive new concepts, new ideas, your mindset got to change. You know, some of the greatest, well, look, two of the greatest last seven sayings of the church is, one, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It can be doing good, but it can move up to excellence. Amen. It can be doing fair and it can move up to good, amen. Yeah. It can be modified. Somebody say modified. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, the second craziest thing that the church say. Seven last sayings of a dying church. I heard a preacher say it this week. Seven last sayings of a dying church. We ain't never done it that way before. Yeah. My wife helped me years ago. She said, one of the oldest hymns that I can think of in the church. She said, the hymn say, to serve this present age, my calling to fulfill, amen. What worked for you might not work for Dante. What worked for Dante might not work for that young man over there, amen. The message shouldn't change, but we got to change the message. Everybody don't like this kind of preaching that I do, amen. So every now and then when the Holy Ghost pricked me to go in another direction, guess what? I need to go because he's trying to minister to somebody else that's not like me. I might have to pull it sometime for somebody, amen. And you need to be all right with that, amen. Even though I ain't pulling it in a long time. But God might want me to pull it for somebody who needed the pulling kind of preaching, amen. Gravy, amen. Hey, all right. You know, that kind of stuff, amen. Yeah. We got to be willing to change. Yeah. I think God is talking to me more than he's talking to anybody here today, amen. Because I've got sort of set in my ways, amen. I think this is the only way to get it done, amen. No, God knows how to get it done, amen. Now, I don't think he wants us to get it done without substance. But he might let us put a little grave on it if that'll help you along, amen. You know, rice is good. But it's better with a little grave on it, amen. Well, they all go down to the roof somewhere now, amen. Pork chops, onions. My wife was a great cook. She thought how bell peppers or cream of mushroom soup or something in a minute, amen. Because it tastes a little better. Somebody say a little better. Somebody say everything's better with blue bonnet on it, amen. You put a little butter on it, it's better. Okay, that's why we got these problems. But sometimes a little grape is better. Or make the meal better. So, Lord, I'm willing if that's what you want me to do. So you can't put new ideas, new concepts in an old mindset, amen. Or else you're just going to waste the new ideas and the concepts, amen. Or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled. There go the wine on the floor. And the wineskins will be ruined. There go the wineskins. They ain't no good for nothing else, amen. Next verse. Got to get to the point. But new wine must be put into what? New ideas, new concepts must be put into new mindsets. A mindset that's willing to receive.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This us, church pastor, we've been doing it that way. Us ain't going to change. It's just going to be us then, amen. Ain't going to be no new blood. Just going to be us. Because that's what us like a small church. Well, it's just going to be us then. And if God has created me for mega, it's going to be y'all, because God going to move me out the way, because I got to go where mega is, amen. So it's going to be y'all, not us. The new wine must be put into new wine skins, and both are preserved. Next verse is point. Verse number 39. And no one having what? Drunk old wine, immediately desires new. For he says what? Take a little while for him to get there, amen. Yeah. He like Ripple. He don't want to drink Chardonnay, amen. He like to taste a little old, amen. So Jesus says, oftentimes it's hard for something to change. Now, Paul picked up on Jesus' teaching of change. And I won't take it to the scripture, I'll just quote it. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, he said, don't be conformed to the world or to the world system. But he says, be transformed. Transformed meaning what? Change. How? By changing the way that you think. You know why you keep on doing the same thing that you've always done? Because you keep thinking the same way. Change the way you think, you might move into a different result. I like leading on, Fred. That's why I stop here every now and then. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22 through 24, he says, as it relates to us doing wrong, he says, we got to take off the old man, which is corrupt, amen. Somebody said change. And he said, put on the new man, which is what? Created in righteousness. Do right. So you got to change from doing, we got to change from doing wrong, if we're doing wrong, to doing right, amen. And he says, in the midst of that, you change your mind or your mental disposition to new habits or new practices, amen. So that change teaching went on through the New Testament. But I need to reiterate. My wife, I'm thinking about the culture where she works now. And she's been trying to change the culture since she's been promoted up. But you've got to change the mind. You got to teach them something new. If you're going to get something new out of them, amen. And don't expect the new to hold. Because sometimes the new is like a rubber band. It bounces back to the old, amen. Which means you got to start working on it again, amen. You ever pull a rubber band? Let it go, what happened? Go right back, amen. Sometimes you got to keep working until you get real, genuine change in the life of individual by really changing the way that they think. So change was beyond Jesus' teaching to New Testament teaching by the Apostle Paul. Last thing I want to tell you about change. Somebody say change. The Holy Spirit is working on us to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to help some of us. Some of us can get there faster if we learn to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. He ain't going to pull you. He ain't going to slap you. He ain't going to slap you upside the head. Because he's a gentleman. He's going to bring it to your memory. Bring it to your mind. He might allow somebody to walk in front of you that's doing the same crazy stuff that you're doing so that you can get a visual of it. And once you get the visual, you remember, I used to get so mad at people. So mad at people for doing stupid stuff. And then I realized the same stupid stuff they're doing is the same thing I'm doing. Amen. Yeah, you need to check this. Holy Spirit trying to show you, giving you a visual of how you look so you can change. He said, look at that drunk. I'm about to fall down. And then the next week, I'm about to fall down. Because I'm just as drunk as the drunk was. One day I got a visual. When you fall down drunk, you know what can happen. You ever fall down and hurt yourself? I got a visual. So the Holy Spirit's trying to change us to look like Jesus. Not long hair. Not blue eyes, because he wouldn't have no long hair, he didn't have no blue eyes. But he might have had long hair, but he had no blue eyes, amen. And I used to think, and I'm trying to close. I used to think that he was probably a muscular man. Because he was, and I might have been wrong, because he was a carpenter. And I thought maybe that during his carpentry years, that he got buff so that he could endure the cross. But then I start thinking about it just this past Passover. God could get more glory out of the fact that he was weak looking. Didn't have no muscles. And was able to endure the cross. You know, muscular folks, they can endure something that us weak folks can't endure, amen. So maybe he wasn't even muscular. I know the scripture said he wasn't good to look at. Isaiah chapter 53, if you want to read it. So, he, you know, all these images that we believe, he probably didn't look like none of that, amen. So God's not talking about us being changed to his physical image, but his spiritual image or his characteristics, amen. So the Holy Ghost is working on us. To help us look like Jesus in character. You know, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that's the character of Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18, and I'll be done. I would like a simpler translation, but it might not have the word change in there, so I'll stay here. But we all got the greatest revelation I've ever had in my life when I read this scripture about a month ago, when he said we're all looking in the mirror with unveiled faces, which means that the glory we've been chasing is right here on the inside of us. Amen. Everybody want to chase his glory. Got to chase his glory. You ain't got to chase his glory if you're saved. His glory is on the inside of you. It just want to get out. Amen. But. I don't know the way to say it, but the filter got to be taken off of us, amen, so the glory can shine. Yeah. Dirt, light. Dirt cover up light, you can't see light, amen. Take dirt off light, light can shine, amen. Glory, brightness. Glory, shone. Glory, God on the inside of us, amen. If he can take some of this stuff off of us, he can be seen. But he won't do it against our will. You mean, Pastor, I got to walk around like I'm all that? No. You mean I got to stop having fun and look prune face? No. I told you this before. Nobody have more fun than I do. I can be the life of anybody's party. Amen. If you don't believe me, ask my folks. Amen. I ain't got to cuss. I ain't got to be drunk. I can just be me. Amen. And just have a slap out ball. Amen. So loud to think I'm 18 again. Amen. So no, you got to put away. You got to put away your personality. You just got to let his character shine through your personality. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the what? Glory of the Lord. Are being what? Somebody say change. Change into the same image from what? Glory to glory. What image? The glory of God, the glory of the Lord. Amen. Just as by what? The Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit is working on the inside of us, trying to change us into the image of our Lord. Because God wants his glory to shine forth through us. But we got to work along with him. So what do we take away from this lesson? I think there's a lot of takeaways. One of the greatest takeaways for me is that God desires change in the lives of believers. You know, and I'm over my time. I'm already over my time. So give me a couple of more minutes. You know. You're 70 now. You're older than 70. You're 60-something. I'm 60-something. You're 80-something. You're in the 90s? No. I shouldn't think the same way I thought when I was 15. I shouldn't even talk the way that I talk. Well, now, 15, I ought to be talking with some wisdom. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away what? Which implies that your thinking needs to change in order for you to put away childish things. Amen. So God desires change. As a matter of fact, God desires change so much until he'll make you feel sorry or regret something that you've done. So that you will change. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I think verse number 10 or 11, somewhere in there, you read it. Godly sorrow leads to repentance or change. That's how much he desires change in the lives of believers. Amen. So when you got saved 20 years ago, you still, you know, acting carnal and all that kind of stuff. 20 years later, now, brothers and sisters, that should be some spiritual maturity. Because when you were a child spiritually, you thought like a spiritual child. You understood like a spiritual child. You spoke like a spiritual child. Now you're a spiritual grown-up, you should put away spiritual, childlike stuff. You shouldn't be condemning nobody no more. Because Christ don't condemn you. You couldn't be judging. You shouldn't be judging nobody anymore. Because Christ took on judgment for us as it relates to the sin. It's amen. Now, you can judge the sin, the New Testament say, but you don't judge it so that you can be pointing your finger, because you should be judging in a way, I see a brother overtaken in a fault. I need to try to help that brother, amen. But you're supposed to do it in the spirit of meekness, lest you be tempted by the same fault that you see in the individual, amen. That's what the scripture says. You might dislike something, but you are not the judge. You're not the condemner, amen. You're supposed to help. And then if you try to help somebody, they don't want your help. You leave them alone and pray for them. My mama used to say, I thought the Forrest Gump, Forrest said, my mama, Bernice Huggins, Brown Orange Huggins, whatever it is. She said to us all the time, that didn't make sense to me back then. It's a mighty poor wind that don't ever change. She said, the wind ought to blow from another direction sometime, amen. Mighty poor person that don't ever change. That's wisdom from Bernice Huggins. So number one, my greatest takeaway is that God does not change. He does not change so much, and that's until he has the Holy Spirit working on us to change. Secondly, some change is my choice. If I don't like it today, I can change it. I looked in the mirror, I ain't like these men breasts that I was getting. Okay, laugh at me. Some of y'all got them too, amen. I dare all you guys to take your shirts off, amen. I don't like these men breasts. I kept looking in the mirror. I ain't supposed to look like my wife. So guess what I did? I joined the gym. And I'm working out, amen. They firming up little by little, amen. I'm going to come in here one Sunday with a body shirt on, amen. And you're going to see the difference, amen. It's going to be a while, though. It's going to be a while. Change. See, you might think I'm a little prideful. No, but I sort of care about how I look, amen. So some change is my choice. Somebody say choice. And the third thing I take away from this is God, you ready to do something in this church. He's going to do something in this church. It might just blow us away. But it's going to happen. Unless I take off again, let us pray. Oh, what's your takeaway? No, you have to tell me. Jot it down. What's your takeaway? And just don't be general and say, I need to change. Detail where you need to change, and then work on where you need to change. Yeah. Write it so that you can see it and run with it. Amen. And don't be looking at your neighbor trying to figure out where they need to change, amen. Don't be looking at your spouse trying to figure out where he or she needs to change. Take a look at yourself. Maybe you need to change in the area of being more compassionate to your spouse, amen. And set a point. You know, the devil is a booger. All this week while God dealing with me about change, he'd go to the devil in the flesh trying to make me accuse you of something. Point my eyes toward her faults. And all of us got them. Oh, no. I said, devil, you ain't going to get me with that one this time. Amen. What I need to do is be more compassionate to her. Say not me, I'm not her. Just because I put the top on the toothpaste don't mean she have to do it all the time. Just because I pick up my clothes behind myself don't mean she has to always do it. She ain't me. I ain't her. If I get tired of seeing her clothes, I'm way over. If I get tired of seeing her clothes on the floor, all I got to do is pick them up or walk over. I have choice. Amen. But I ain't got no right to accuse her. When I start accusing her, I'm on Satan's territory because he's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. My job is to love her unconditionally. Amen. Instead of, in spite of, amen. I thought I was going to preach today about the three ingredients for a healthy marriage. But God didn't let me preach that, but I'll get to it. But one of the ingredients for the man is to be an unconditional lover for his wife. Because the scripture implies that she's going to have some faults. Just like the church have faults. And Jesus died to make the church better for himself. We should live to make our wives better for ourselves. Amen. Through cherishing them and nourishing them. Amen. That's what the scripture says. I promise you I can preach all day today. I'm fully loaded. I'm fully loaded. But I know you're not going to sit here all day. Amen. Don't play with me. Now, let me help you. Don't be surprised if every preacher come here this week talking about change. Maybe God didn't want you to hear from them until you hear from me. I don't know what they're going to talk about. Sometimes they'll ask you, what do you need to talk about? You talk about what the Holy Spirit tell you to talk about. Don't be asking me. I ain't the Holy Spirit. You say you call. You get with the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. He know what we need. Lord, please let me quit. So what's your takeaway? I see eyes closed. I see heads shaking. I see people rocking. Everybody know we. I see somebody in the prayer mode. Lord, help me, help me, help me. Can I help you? Don't condemn yourself if you need change. Just work on changing. Don't condemn yourself. Don't beat up on yourself. I must be like this because my dad was like that. All that ain't even necessary. Ain't necessary. My mom must have did it to me. No, that ain't necessary. Even if they did do it to you, it ain't necessary. Just take a look at yourself. Don't condemn yourself or nobody else. And just work on it. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit. Lord, help me. You got the Holy Spirit to help you. You got the Lord Jesus to help you. You got God the Father to help you. Amen. And all of them rooting for you. Amen. And then you got all them clouds of witnesses up there. Amen. Grandmama see you. Mama see me. Mama see you. Mama see you. They root for us. If they could touch Paul, and Paul touched Peter, and Peter touched Jesus, and said, help my baby. Yes, sir. All of them up there. Yes. Thank you. So don't condemn yourself. Don't condemn nobody else. Just work on it. Just work on it. I ain't trying to generate no shout. Just work on it. Just work on it. Just work on it. And the work ain't done until you are done, and you ain't done yet. Amen. Think about another movie. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. As long as you got a willing mind and a willing spirit, guess what? You can work on it. It's work. Michael, that's your hand. Is that? Take this bite. What is it? What was it? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Check this out. Thank you, Michael. Lay aside every weight. And the sin, it's referencing a particular sin, but whatever sin that you need to lay aside. The sin, which is what? So easily ensnares you. The translation there is, there could be a sin in your life that keeps carrying you in circles. Hindering your change, hindering you from your race, hindering you from winning, amen. Give it New King James translation. That's King James. I want King James. Which don't so easily beset us. That could be a, my God, my God, my God. Let me shout first, my God, my God. There's a sin in your life that's competing with your success. There's a sin in your life competing with your success. And as long as it keeps winning, you can't get to your place of success in the Lord. Beset. Ensnare. Keep you going around in circles. Keep us going around. I can remember some. Y'all know why the Bible talks so much about sin, even though Jesus forgave us about sin. Because sin ain't God's best for us. Sin hinders us. While you focusing on sin, God's focusing on what's best for you, amen. Pastor preached for an hour and a half. Y'all help me. So, what's that sin that's competing against your success? Change it. Stop it. Ask the Lord to help me. There are a lot of great preachers that God want to elevate to another great place. But there's some sin competing with their success. There have been some preachers that God have elevated to some great places. And the sin won over their success. Because they wouldn't deal with it. So we got some folks rooting for us. Let us out every sin the way we're so easy to beset us. And let us run our race with what? Patience. Little by little. Y'all help him. Help him. Help him. Help him. Help him. You're moving too slow, Michael. Help him. Somebody told me a long time ago that deliverance takes time. Praise the Lord. That's good. Now that's very good. Love is patience. Love is kind. It's not puffed up, it ain't proper. Somebody out back there? What else, Lord? Alicia wanted change. That's why she's doing something about it. Can I help somebody? Sometimes you can't do it by yourself. Sometimes you need help. I got help. I tell this story, and I promise you I'm trying to change. I promise you I'm trying to sit down. I tell this story sometimes to my sons and to other young married couples. When we first got married, they've been married for 20, 30 years. They've been married 10 years, 2, 4, 5, I don't know how many it was. Mick and Lynn have been married for so long. They had had their problems. They had had their problems. Now Vic and I have our problems. We would all meet together at my house, somebody's house, Sunday after church like this. We would sit down and eat, laugh, have a good time. And then we all got together and solved one another's problems. Well, at least help tried to. Mixon said something to me one day. I wanted to jump up out the chair and just slap the taste out of his mouth. And he just said some pretty strong things to me, too. Mixon said to me, boy, if your marriage fails, it's your fault. And I said, how the hell is it going to be my fault? That's what I said. When I got along and started thinking about it, that's a good point. I'm the leader. I can take some stuff that I think I can't take. I've dished out a lot of stuff. Here's a word to somebody. If your marriage fails, it's your fault. Talking to some man. It's your fault. You're the leader. About what you tired of. Somebody tired of you too. No. I don't mean to be funny. This is the truth. I'm tired of this and that. Somebody tired of that too. You ain't got it all together. Somebody tired of you too. I used to be bad about it. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. Who are you? Somebody tired of you too. She just said, tired of you are you and you are her. She tired of you saying you tired of her. Okay, Lord, that's right. It's time. Time to close now. Abe said amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.